We're going to turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 12. All right, Acts chapter 12. I trust you found your place there. I'd ask that you stand as we read. We're just going to read one verse out of Acts chapter 12 for the time being, and then we'll pray, sit down, and we'll move on from there. But Acts chapter 12, verse number 7. This is when Peter's been arrested. He's in prison. He's expecting to die in the morning, and God sends the angel. That's verse number 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Father, we're so grateful for this historical account included in your word. Now, as we spend just a few moments in it this morning, considering a few simple thoughts, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us, move in our hearts, change our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I hope you have a finger or a bulletin you can keep there, because I do want to look at a couple other verses, and then we'll come back to Acts chapter 12 as try to get across a point here this morning. But the title of the message is taken out of verse number 7, Arise Up Quickly. Arise Up Quickly. But I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. There's one verse in that chapter I want to notice, and one thought in that chapter. You see, Peter's in prison, chained between two soldiers, with two more at the door making sure he doesn't escape or anyone come in to rescue him. Humanly speaking, there's nothing more to do but pray, and they, of course, had that all-night prayer meeting. But we're going to find, before it's all done, doors are going to swing wide open. Doors are going to swing wide open. And with that thought, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And so what God is speaking here through the Apostle Paul is that he's in Ephesus, and he wants to remain in Ephesus for a while because this great door. Now, this great door is not a literal door. Not like what Peter saw swing open for him. But nevertheless, there's a great door, and Paul is saying it's wide open. God is allowing it to be effectual. Things were happening. Souls were being saved, and the church is in the process of being planted. And it's an exciting time, and Paul was excited, and he had no desire to leave. He would, if that's what God's will was and where God would lead. But nevertheless, he says, I intend to stay right here in Ephesus because of this wide open door. But one thing I want you to notice, and it's a word that we may have overlooked and may not have understood. A little two-letter word. A door is opened unto, and what's that next word? Me. Me. Paul had this door open for him. And so we need to understand that doors are opened for individuals. And I want you to understand that God has doors open for you, individually. God has things He wants you to do. And as I said a moment ago about God's will, God has a perfect will for your life. I don't care if you're a young person or more mature in life. God has a specific will for your life. And He wants to open doors in your life, doors of ministry, so that you can serve Him, and so that when you appear before the great white throne of judgment, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord, and here's the rewards that you have earned that then later on we'll be able to cast before His throne. You see, He wants you to serve Him, and He will open doors of ministry for you. Paul says, for me. Now, when we do that, we see there's adversaries. Don't get discouraged because people will rise up. We expect that from the world, but you know the worst adversaries we can have are those in our own, well, I say our own church. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's other Christians that say, you got all kinds of excitement right now, but don't worry, you'll get over it. And you'll become dry as a doornail, just like I am, and you'll just sit on your hands and never do anything for God. Don't worry, that'll wear off. Just work through it. No, that's not what God wants for your life. But you see, sometimes other believers can be an adversary, and they can discourage you from serving God. Listen to God and do what He says, because the devil wants to stop you if you're trying to serve Him. If you're sitting on your hands your entire Christian life and never accomplishing anything for God or attempting anything for God, the devil's going to leave you alone. He can't take you to hell with him. Your soul's already been purchased once for all. It's settled. But he'll do everything he can to keep you from influencing anyone else from trusting Christ or from growing in Christ. He'll do what he can. There'll be adversaries. Just count on it. Don't get discouraged. Because God wants to open those doors of ministry in your life, and you need to walk through them and follow God through them and let him work through you. What a wonderful life it is. My life motto, it's not very spiritual, but it's just simply every day is a new adventure. It really is. What is God going to do today, and how is God going to work things out, and where is he going to take me today? I never know. You never know either. But I see it as an adventure. Some of the times I can cry and play my violin for myself and have my pity party at what is in front of me. But why should I do that? I've got a God in heaven. And he likes to work things out for me. And he'll do the most exciting things. And I just like to sit back and watch what God has for me. And so we see an open door here for Paul, a door of ministry. Turn over also, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We'll see another open door. And again, it's a door of ministry. It's a symbolic door, not a literal door like Peter would see. But he's in prison, expecting to die, sound asleep. The angel comes in. You know, light wakes me up. I can't imagine sleeping that soundly that the angel had to smote him in the side to wake him up. But nevertheless, that's what happened. Literal doors open. But here in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 8, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 8, God says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, obviously, he's talking to a church here, the church of Philadelphia, a real church. Now, I believe that the seven churches were literal churches made up of real people, just like you and me. They had challenges in life. They had strengths, they had weaknesses, they had temptations that easily beset them. They had discouragement, enthusiasm, they had everything we have. They were no different than you or me. Now, their culture may have been a little bit different, and certainly they didn't have cars and all the convenience of life that you and I have, but nevertheless, they were people, very real people, built emotionally exactly like you and exactly like me. And God is addressing them. And that's what we're seeing here. God's saying to those people, there's an open door to the church. Of course, I also believe this is these seven churches are an outline of church history. In the Philadelphia age, I believe we're closing it down right now. Now, some people believe it exists until the rapture. I personally believe that, and the Laodicean church comes on during the tribulation period. But it's fascinating to study these seven churches from that aspect. And you can go back in history and see the things God addresses to these real people in real churches and how it was prominent in different ages since the cross of Christ. But this Philadelphian church is the missionary age, when the modern missions movement was roaring strongly. Now, as I said, we're kind of closing that down. We still have a lot of missionaries that are on the field, and we still have a lot of missionaries trying to get to the field. And that's a real issue, trying to get missionaries today to the field, because we become so Laodicean in our mentality and our thought process that missionaries are having to spend 3 and sometimes 5 years and more to get to the field. I had a pastor one time. He was the last pastor I had before I went into the ministry. And he felt God was calling him to Australia. You know, he never did make the field. He was on the deputation trail for 5 years. 5 years. And he wasn't getting anywhere on raising his support. Now, he needed a rather large amount of support because he had a large family. But nevertheless, it just speaks of what's going on in our churches. We've lost sight. We become concerned about modern conveniences in our own lives, and we don't have money for missions. You see, God has given us a wide open door. He gave the Philadelphian church a wide open door as a church. And I believe he's given one here to the Covenant Baptist Church. And just because you're changing pastors doesn't mean that door closes. Now, as you get a new pastor, he will be different from the man sitting over here, of whom I have nothing but respect for. He'll be different. And so perhaps new doors would open and existing doors might close. That's just the nature of it. God places his men where he wants them, when he wants them there. And that's why it's so important you're careful to get God's man and be in prayer and go that route. I may or I may not be that man. You'll have to determine that. Because I may be convinced it is, but if you aren't, it's of no value. If it is God's will, then we'll come together on that. If it's not God's will, at least one of us will say, I don't believe so. But if it is, God's got open doors, irregardless, for Covenant Baptist Church. And the question is, moving back to Acts chapter 12, is will you rise up quickly and will you go through those doors that God opens? You notice Peter didn't open any doors. But it's interesting to follow this little history lesson God gives us. Because as Peter is sleeping there, and the angel kicks him in the side and says, Peter, get up. Peter had some options at that point. And when God opens a door for you personally, and when God opens a door for the church, you still have options. Peter could have said, now wait a minute. I'm in such a deep sleep. I'm having such great dreams. Just leave me alone. I'll be ready in the morning. In other words, he's saying, just wait a little while. Now's not the time. Why don't you come back later? So many Christians have let doors of ministry close in their lives because they said to God, not now. When I was in Bible college, I had a friend who had a teenage daughter. And he actually helped rebuild the engine it was actually my wife's car. We had taken on a long trip. We didn't know about changing. It wasn't changing the oil that was the problem. But we put some oil additive in. And it was too heavy for the oil, and it all was in the... But we blew the engine. He was helping me rebuild it. I say helping me. I didn't do anything. I just watched him. He did all the work. But as we were doing that, he said to me that God had called him into the ministry. Oh, praise the Lord. And then he said, but, terrible word in the English language. He said, I have a young teenage daughter. As soon as my responsibilities to her are through, I'll go into the ministry. That teenage daughter, in a few years, broke that man's heart. Now, the story has a happy ending because she was raised well in church and got right with God. There were a lot of broken hearts. But the one thing that never happened, and you guessed it, that man never entered the ministry. Why? God opened the door of ministry for him. And he said, no, not now. I'm having a good time of sleeping here. I'm having wonderful dreams. So don't bother me now. You come back later. And when you come back later, I'll be raring to go. And that'll be the right... No, you walk through the doors when God opens them. That's why he says to Peter, rise up. What's that next word? Quickly. Quickly. Now's the time. Now it's open. It may not open long, but it's open now. Take advantage of it. You'll be so glad that you did. And so he could have said, you know, I'm having a good night's sleep. Just come back later. He could have thought, you know, I don't know what those, you know, when he opened his eyes, you know how that is when you're in such a deep sleep and you're kind of groggy and you're looking around trying to find grips with reality. He could have said, you know, I think I'm seeing an angel, but nah, I don't know what those guards gave me for my meal last night, but man, it's sure affecting me. And I'm just seeing these crazy things right now. And he could have gone back to sleep. He could have not believed what God was doing in his life. And again, I think a lot of Christians and a lot of churches fail to go through the doors of ministry that God opens for them because they don't have the faith that God is opening a door. And they attribute it to feeling, they attribute it to all kinds of things, and they don't give God credit for what he's trying to do with them. It's devastating. Because we've got to rise up quickly. God's not going to hold that door open forever. He holds the door open for those that are obedient. And when we say, I don't believe it, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God closes the door. If God is opening a door, you know what the best thing to do? And I got advice after your pastor first contacted me from a man I respect very much. His name is John Van Torn. He pastored for a while. Just one of my favorite men on this earth. But he just told me, he said, Ken, when God's opening a door, you got to go up to it and try to go through it. If God's not in it, he'll close that door. That's wise advice. Now, John was a construction worker for most of his life. He owned his own business and he sold it, went into the ministry when he was 57 years old. Pastored until I think he was 81. And finally, just his wife was sick, and so he had to give it up to take care of her. But you know, we've got to rise up quickly. God's not going to hold those doors open forever. One of the amazing things in this verse, I don't think we always notice it, is the last sentence of verse number 7, and his chains fell off from his hands. When did that happen? The angel kicked him in the side and said, arise up quickly. Peter could have laid there and looked over at this guard and looked over at that guard, look at the chains holding them to them. He could have said, there's too many obstacles. There isn't any way this is even a possibility. I don't know what that angel's thinking, but I just can't do what he asked me to do. Too many things in the way. Too many obstacles. And again, I would suggest that there's a lot of Christians who never served God and never got the rewards that God had in store for them because God opened a door of ministry for them and they looked at the obstacles in the way. The fact of the matter is that if God is calling you to do something and he's opening a door, it doesn't matter what's in the way. And I believe what happened here is Peter stirred. The angel says, rise up quickly. Peter rubs his eyes maybe a couple times and he gets up. And as he gets up, that's when the chains fell away. They didn't fall away while he was laying on the ground. God doesn't remove obstacles before we go through the doors. He lets us take the second step. Now I say second step because he sent the angel to give him instruction. That was step number one. Step number two was Peter's response. God has opened you a door. The ball's in your hand. What will you do? Don't worry about the obstacles. That's not your responsibility. That's God's department. If God is opening a door, what did it say in Revelation chapter 3? No man can shut it. Aren't you glad God is omnipotent, all-powerful? We love it in John chapter 10 when Jesus says, I've got you in my hand and the Father has me in his hand. There ain't no getting out of that. Amen. We're saved forever. We can never lose that eternal, everlasting life. Well, these obstacles are the same thing. If God is opening a door, it's God's will. There is no obstacle that can stand in the way. Amen. It may be big. You may not be able to see over it, around it, or tunnel below it. But God can. Let God be God. And stop trying to decide for him. He says to rise up quickly. Those chains will fall off. They'll fall off. Another interesting thing on knowing God's will as we move into the next verse. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. Now, the thing I want you to notice here, Peter's sleeping. He's in his jammies. I don't know if he had jammies. I don't know what was going on. I hope at least he had some jammies on. But the angel says, get up. He gets up. I imagine Peter just standing there. The angel's over here and he's got his hands on, said, okay. He's not expressing, and I believe God would have written, but he's thinking in his mind, now what do I do? You notice the angel didn't tell him beforehand? That's really what I want you to see. It's just a simple little thought. Like, I'm not a great thinker. I just have simple thoughts. The angel says, get dressed and grab your shoes. In other words, we're going somewhere. So Peter, on the instruction, gets dressed, gets his shoes on. And what does he do? Angel's over here, Peter's. All right, I'm dressed, got my shoes on, now what do I do? You see, the angel didn't say, get dressed, get your shoes on, and let's get... He didn't say that. One step at a time. The angel then says, grab your coat, come with me. What did Peter do? Peter grabbed his coat, went with him. The doors began to open. Now, we only read of that outer gate, but it talks about him going through the first and second ward. I believe there are probably gates at each place. And all these doors are opening, open doors. He's going up to them, great obstacles. He thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't realize that this is real and physical happening in his life. And all this is what stops us from going through, because we see these things. We say, well, there's doors I can't go. There's obstacles I can't go. I don't have a road map seeing the end from the beginning, so I can't go until I know it all and have it laid out before me. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. God says, here's a door. I want to open it for you. But you got to get up quickly. If you'll get up quickly, God will give you the next step. Chances are He's not going to give you the second step. Not at that point. Not until you take that first step. You take that first step, He'll show you the second step. He's not going to show you the third step and the second step at the same time. You take that second step, then He'll tell you the third step. You see, he had an open door. God is working what we would call a miracle in his life. You know, God wants to work a miracle in your life. And I'm not talking Benny Hinn or anyone like that. I believe they're all fakes. I think the science, don't you love that phrase, the science? But I think that would prove it. A lot of desperate people. Only reason why he's still in business. But God wants to work a miracle. Every time a soul is saved, a miracle takes place. And we're so humdrum about it. We think, that's good, I'm glad. We ought to get excited about that. Man, that ought to cause us to jump and down with joy. Did you know, how many of you are really open and emotional with your emotions? Anybody like that? I got to put my hand, okay. For the rest of us that are just, you go to a ball game and your team has this massive come-from-behind victory. When they score that go-ahead, we'll just say run in baseball in the bottom of the ninth, and they win, and the crowd's going wild, and you're sitting there, that's cool. That's cool. For those of you like me, when we get to heaven, did you know it's going to be different? If the Lord calls us, well, we'll see it even during the tribulation period, when souls get saved. You know what the Bible says is going to happen? There's going to be rejoicing throughout heaven. There's two different times, parallel verses, but it's stated in different ways. One way indicates that God on the throne is excited and there's rejoicing on the throne. The other time, it's in the presence of God, and so we're excited. And we're going to jump up and down for joy. And we're going to, as you read in the book of Revelation, we can see ourselves as we fall prostrate before God and spontaneously cast our crown before His throne, because we're so excited about things. In this life, we're so quiet. And I understand where that came from, because there was a day when we didn't have the advantage of microphones. And so everybody had to be as quiet as a mouse to be able to hear the preacher. But we don't have that anymore. And I'm going to get into a hobby horse here. This is kind of on the side note. No charge. But you know, we have someone who is lost or in a neighborhood for the first time, and they say, I think I'll go to church. Don't know what makes them want to, but it happens a lot. And they come to our church, and that's cool. Nice. That we're thinking it. We'd never say it out loud. Way to go, preacher. And then they go home thinking, man, that place was dead. Because we sing the hymns like we ought to, by the way. They go down the street to the other church. They've got their rock band, and for 45 minutes, they're pounding away, and the building is shaking because of the bass guitar and the volume. And they're up there screaming their heads off, playing it very poorly from the ones I've seen. But nevertheless, 45 minutes of that. Then someone gets up and gives a little talk. People are going crazy. They're excited. They're jumping up and down. People are dancing in the aisles. And that lost person, new in the neighborhood, for some reason wants to go to church. And he walks away saying, man, there's tons of life in this church. None in that other one. And we're going to say amen in heaven. We're going to say praise the Lord in heaven. Let's just start now. You know, there's more life in one, I'm musically challenged, one measure of our good old hymns. There's more life in that than there is in a whole verse in this garbage that's going on in so many churches with their rock bands. Amen. We need to sing it like that. And we need to act like that. It ought to get us excited. Jesus saved me. I'm going to heaven. I don't have to spend eternity in hell. The point is, God opens doors. Are we going to sit back and say, that's cool? Or are we going to get up quickly, act on faith, and go through those doors? Are we going to say, you know, now that I've analyzed it, there's just so many things in the way. I just can't possibly do it. I'm not going to go there. I'd like to at this point. But remember when Moses sent the 12 spies in the promised land? 10 of them come back. We just can't do it. We've got to love Joshua and Caleb. We can do it because God said so. If God opens a door, no man can close it. Amen. Arise up quickly. Don't worry about having it all planned out. You may not know. At my church, I've told the fellas on the platform, whatever's happening, go with it. Pretend, I probably shouldn't be telling you any of this, but I just said, pretend like that's the way it was planned. Because I never know when the service starts. It's another adventure for me. Because I let God take over. At least I do my best. I try to follow where He leads. Open doors is what I'm talking about. Follow where He leads. You may not be able to see the end from the beginning. You may not even know the next step. You probably won't. Don't worry about it. Just go through the door. Father, we thank You for the privilege that You give us of serving You. We thank You that really all we need to do is participate. Be available. You do all the work. You remove the obstacles. You give the results. It's so humbling and yet such an honor. Father, I pray for each one here this morning that You would place that desire in their heart to see that door of ministry that You're opening to them individually, but also as a church family. And Father, that they would decide here and now that as You open doors, they will rise up quickly and follow. Well, thank You for what You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.